This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us
Glenn Cunningham
and
Carol Cunningham,
and I am Diane McConnell. So, a bed and breakfast.
Yes.
How did this happen?
Well, it's a long story. So, when we came here to this piece of land, there were no buildings on it. And we built a garage with a bedroom and a shower room and a little kitchenette attached so we could live in that while we decided what we were going to do, build a house, so on and so forth. And we had built the house and acquired a few animals. How many at the beginning, do you think?
No, it's all a bit of a blur.
Well,
what were some of the animals?
Miniature horses, chickens, dog, cat, sheep. I think we started with those. Oh, and then you got ducks, Glenn.
Yes.
Yes, he says. He always says, I got ducks, but no, it was Glenn. So when we wanted to go away on holiday, we needed to get someone to come in and look after the animals, a house sitter. So the house sitter we gave the job to was a woman who had sold her house and was house-sitting permanently back-to-back. So she just did house-sits around New Zealand. They might be 1 week, they might be 3 months, whatever,
mm-hmm.
with as few gaps in between as she could arrange. So she came and sat for us. I have no idea where we went. We're talking about 15 or 16 years ago now. And
so that's about
2010. Yeah, somewhere around there, I guess. Yeah, because I think we arrived here in 2008.
Right.
Is that your recollection, Glenn?
Yep, that sounds right.
So, anyway, the house sitter came and she sat and looked after the animals and the house. And then she didn't have a house sit for two more days after we came home. So we said, you're welcome to stay in the sleep house where we had been living before we built the house.
Mm-hmm.
So she stayed in the sleep out and she said, so cozy over there, it ought to be a B&B. And we laughed and said, yes. And she said, well, you know, you've got a resource, you could be making a bit of money. So that's where we left it for, don't know how long, do you, Glenn? A little while. And then we decided that we would give it a go because Airbnb was becoming more popular. Airbnb being an organisation, I believe it started in America, with Air B meaning air bed, a blow-up bed, and breakfast. So someone with space in their home could offer an air bed and some breakfast and get a little bit of cash in return. That then has become a huge organisation internationally, and people just talk about Airbnb. The term B&B, bed and breakfast, is rarely used now. It's Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
And Airbnbs range from enormous homes, stately homes, to little tiny caravans. Anyway, we decided to give Airbnb a go. So we researched. The online platform looked easy to manipulate. Oh, not manipulate. What's the word? Easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
And what had we got to lose? Give it a go. So Glenn decided he would be the maintenance man and I would be the main host. And we decided that we would offer affordable accommodation because Ashurst, people don't come to Ashurst for anything other than, what would you say, Glenn? Sports events, weddings.
Passing through.
Mm. Yeah.
At that point, was there accommodation in Ashurst?
Yes. There was accommodation at the pub and other B&Bs and Airbnbs. So we were by far not the first ones to Airbnb. So people would, international visitors would arrive in Auckland, drive 6 hours to us, have a rest for the night, and then go down to Wellington and get on the ferry to go to the South Island. So typically we were a little break for international visitors, or people would come to weddings or funerals or sports events. So we decided where we would try and put ourselves in the market and how much do you charge? So we asked our house sitter, how much would you pay? And she said $80 a night, and we went, what? No way. So we started off charging $65 a night, and I went and bought bed linen and towels from a hotel supply chain. Mm-hmm. So they were good quality. And we wrote our little blurb and took our little photos and sat back. And suddenly I got a notification. I think within how long do you think, Glenn? A day? 2 days?
A couple of days.
A notification from a gentleman who lives 2 hours away, and he was coming to a running event here and needed a couple of nights accommodation. And that was very exciting. And before we'd got over that excitement, we had another notification, and a couple in Denmark had seen our listing and were coming for a night on their way to wherever they were going in New Zealand.
And how soon was this after you first put up the listing?
2 or 3 days.
So there was certainly a demand for it.
So we couldn't believe that someone in Denmark had sat at their computer and gone, where should we stay? Oh, look at this, in Ashurst. We'll go there.
It's not really the top tourist destination.
No, exactly. So, and from there, you know, it sort of blossomed. So we learned a lot, didn't we? Because after each stay, the guests are invited to do an online review.
Okay.
So then you nervously await the review. And if you're like me, you want to get 10 out of 10 for everything. Of course, that's not realistic, is it? I don't know what your opinion was of the reviews, Glenn. How did you feel about them?
Difficult to get perfection, but we strove for it, didn't we? Yeah. You certainly did.
How did you feel when we got reviews that weren't quite as good as we would have liked?
Yeah.
Didn't care?
Well, no, the thing was is that they were perfect, but they were by no means bad.
Yes.
They always seemed to have a good time, and accommodation was what they always said. It was clean and tidy, and it was a good experience for everybody.
Oh, one guest said it wasn't clean.
Which one was that?
Bugs came in the window.
Oh, no.
Right, wow.
Well, we live on... Country living. Yes, country living. So on three sides, we're bordered by a dairy farm. And so you get a lot of insects and flies. Of course, if you've got the light on inside and your window open at night, you're going to get bugs. But they were from a country where bugs could cause issues, biting insects. Could cause issues. So we learned that we needed to do something to mitigate that, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And, we just did the best we could, really, didn't we?
What were the things they commented about? What were they noticing?
So Airbnb had headings that they could comment on and give you a rating on.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, location, price, were all the amenities that you said would be there, shampoo, toilet paper, so on and so forth. And then there was a free form where you could write a few sentences about your stay. So I guess from there we just learnt how to meet and greet and what we were offering. Because we not only offered a bed for the night, but also the opportunity to meet our farm animals up close.
I guess that was our point of difference, wasn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
In what way?
Well, in that they could do that, they could meet all the animals. And to us, I suppose for New Zealand, a lot of New Zealanders, that would seem, well, that's not very interesting. But for particularly from tourists, travellers from overseas that might live in huge metropolitan areas, and we had plenty of guests that came from big cities, it was unusual and exciting, particularly from some of our lovely guests from Southeast Asia who live in, you know, really built-up areas. So the opportunity to meet alpacas and sheep, and of course our animals are so used to people, but they wouldn't run away. In fact, they would approach the guests, usually because they knew that there was maybe a pocket full of treats for them. So they loved it. It was fantastic. And we'd get a kick out of watching their enjoyment. And the animals would usually approach them. They certainly didn't run away because we usually had, well, we always had little treats in our pockets. So the guests would come up and they'd have the opportunity to feed the alpacas or the sheep or miniature horses. And I don't know how many times we would watch them. They'd always ask, sending video images live to their parents, friends, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever it was, back at home.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. It was really, and we got a kick out of watching them enjoy it. So yeah, really good.
So that became one of your points of difference.
Yeah, I mean, even for the New Zealand guests who were perhaps just passing through, just using us as a place to put their head down before they headed off to Wellington and doing whatever they were doing, they would. I guess they too were interested in the animals, and we would always offer the opportunity for them to meet the animals, and 9 times out of 10 they'd say yes.
Do you think that there are actually quite a few New Zealanders now who don't have the same opportunities to interact with animals?
I think so. I think a lot of people who grow up in Auckland or... definitely.
Mm.
They don't have the opportunity. Like, sheep are just the little white dots on green paddocks, you know, as they whiz from one point to another.
Mm.
They've got no opportunity to, you know, actually they're really amazing animals, and they're not silly. And the alpacas are charming, and the ponies are, well, I mean, I'm biased, of course. So, yeah, I think it was a great experience for New Zealand travellers.
For people to go into a paddock with those animals and touch them, and there you would see the joy on their face. Because one of our sheep in particular, the moment she was born, she just walked up to us and said, "Hello, I'm here," and has been human friendly. So they didn't realise that sheep have their own personalities and differences and so on. So it was great to see that. And also some people came because they were just interested in the lifestyle block issue and would that suit them?
In fact, we had one set of guests, and there was something I think that they wanted to do at some point. They were living in Wellington, and they came and stayed with us, stayed the night, and they got the animals plus the walk around the garden and how we collect water and sewerage and all those sorts of mundane things. And they ended up, after the experience here, and it wasn't just because of us, but what they experienced, they ended up buying their own lifestyle block, a bare block of land on the other side of Fielding. And that was, how many years ago was that, Carol? That was
probably, I think it was before the COVID pandemic,
yeah,
wasn't it?
And they've been there ever
6 years ago.
They've been there ever since. So, so quite cool.
Yeah.
And we're good friends with them still. In fact, we're going to go and see them next week.
I call them the guests that have never left.
Mm.
And so it wasn't long before we realised we needed a map of the world in the kitchenette in the accommodation, and we would provide little flags and people could put a flag in their home city or country, whatever. So Denmark, you know. And then it wasn't very much longer before we had 19 flags.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Like Carol said earlier, it was like, I mean, who wants to come? I mean, Ashurst is a lovely place. We live here. We love it. But
it's it's not anywhere on the tourist
plan. And so we were constantly, I mean, even after, you know, 8-9 years, we were like, we never thought we would be. I mean, we were busy enough. We didn't want to be any busier than we ended up being. But it was perfect.
So why do you think it was so popular? There was the animals. What else? What else were you doing that made it work well?
We did keep it in the on the lower side of the budget, although we soon worked out we needed to increase the price a little bit. And because we were getting good reviews, obviously we were doing something right. So we were on the low side of the budget, and we added value without telling them, because my mum said we needed to do that, and she'd been in hospitality all her life. So even though she's now 90, if we were setting off today, she would say, well, your product looks good. How are you going to add value? So what we did on the Airbnb website, you list what you provide, a heater, shampoo, a fan if it's hot, towels, etc., and so on. But then we provided little extras, so they come into the room and, oh, there were some chocolates there and homemade biscuits and so on. And as I said earlier, the linen was a higher quality than you would expect for the price point that they were paying, although it was no more expensive than if I had gone to a local store. It's just that finding the right supplier and paying the commercial rate. Anyway, so we had a nice little tidy, well furnished. Glenn maintained it beautifully, accommodation to provide. And I think if you're a weary traveller and you drive in, and our front gate's not a very thrilling entrance, you come in, close the gates behind you, you drive for a few metres, and then suddenly you're amongst all the trees and greenery and animals, and it's like another little world.
It's an oasis, isn't it?
It's an oasis, yes. So then by review, we got word of mouth, people coming because of word of mouth, and then we got repeat customers, didn't we? We had a few business people that would be working in the Manawatu, and we were our place for them to stay. Then we realised we needed to offer pet-friendly accommodation.
Ah.
So that was another dimension. And
so what sort of pets did we have?
Well, at one stage, not long after we offered pet-friendly accommodation, and you charge a little bit extra if people bring a pet because, you know, there's extra cleaning. We had more cats than dogs at one stage, and we've had horses, dogs, cats.
We had a cat from...
yes, Dubai.
A cat from Dubai.
Yeah, so lovely couple were travelling New Zealand, and they brought their cat with them.
It was on holiday with them because it was a geriatric cat. And they had the most beautiful equipment. They'd rented a large vehicle and they had all sorts of equipment for the cat, and they brought their bed cover, and the dear old cat just sat on the bed when they were out, and I'd walk past and go, are you okay? And he'd just look at me as I'd have to say, no, I'm asleep, thank you. So no problem. He was unfazed. And what I did find was people that brought their pets left the place cleaner than a lot of other guests.
Really?
I think that's because they appreciate the pet-friendly accommodation and want that to continue, you know, universally.
Well, how common is pet-friendly accommodation now, would you say, if you were travelling with the dog?
Oh, very. And it has been for a long time, hasn't it?
Mm.
20 years ago we were travelling with our dog. Not at all difficult to find pet-friendly motels, hotels, camper vans, yeah.
You've just got to look. Obviously.
Mm. Often a motel will have a particular room that's available, because some people are allergic to animals, so they don't want to go in after a cat or a dog has stayed there.
One thing, what about the COVID? Because with COVID lockdown and then COVID, all the hygiene, how did you go with COVID?
Airbnb provided strict rules and a lot of guidance on how to clean. So to clean the accommodation, I had to have a separate set of clothing from my socks up, rubber gloves, so on and so forth. Every surface that a guest might touch had to be cleaned with approved cleaner. mask to be worn while cleaning. And that, you know, that wasn't during lockdown. That was when we were getting back onto our feet.
For how long was this?
I can't recall. Can you?
No, I can't remember.
Because that must have added it did go on. Hours to you.
Well, it sounds like it, but actually not, because you're going to wear clothes anyway.
Mm.
So having a separate set of clothes, just drop them in the washing machine and wash
and
them.
And we became so, I mean, Carol did the housekeeping, if you like, and I did everything outside, mowing and cleaning windows and all the bits and pieces. We were so good at it, so quick, it's become so efficient that we knew exactly what we needed to do, and we just got in and did it. And so these tasks were, I mean, how many people a week would we get typically when everything was running normally?
Towards the end, we limited it to 4 nights a week.
Yeah, and that was plenty for us. We could have had more, but that was enough.
You mean towards the end of your business?
Yes. So we had the ability to block out nights.
Yes.
So the guests would look at the calendar, what's available. Those nights weren't available, and they were typically not available, obviously, because there probably was another guest maybe, or because that was when we would prefer to have a break. Because you have to have a break. Mm.
So
I have to say, our guests were awesome.
Yeah.
The people were incredible.
Mm.
We had one couple from Copenhagen, and we sat with the ponies. This was a summer's day. What were we? I think we were having a cider or something each. There was this older couple, us, and we sat with the ponies. The ponies were in the yard with us, and we had, so gosh knows what they thought. It was a very strange experience for them. But, it would have been unique, I suppose.
And I think that's when we had those unhandled ponies as well.
Yes, yeah. We had 4 ponies at that stage.
We were sitting with them to try and get them used to humans. But we did Airbnb for 9 years.
Right.
So we, at the beginning, we thought, you know, we'll just take as many as that will come. And then we had to limit it because it is a little bit invasive. You are sitting, it's 9 o'clock and they're not here yet and, you know, 9 p.m.
Because we like
to welcome them. They said they were going to be here at 8.
Mm. We like to welcome them when they arrive because that's, you know, it's nice and sort of point out what they can do the next morning and maybe show them a couple of things of our summer and it was still light. But, all of the guests we had.
Yeah, were great.
It was just such an amazing, it was an amazing experience for us. We made some really good friends.
But going back to the cleaning, if you're cleaning a room and a bathroom 4 times a week, or if someone's stayed for 4 nights, you're still cleaning it. It gets to a standard where it's so clean, you're really just wiping.
Yes.
I wish the house was like that.
Don't you all?
Yeah, so self-cleaning houses.
What brought you to the point of finishing?
I think we just sort of, it had just naturally come to the end of its lifespan, doing 2 loads of washing every day and, as I say, watching the clock. Are they going to leave on time because I need to get in there to do the housekeeping? They're not here. Are they? We did have a guest once who didn't arrive, and then eventually I contacted them and said, is everything okay? And he said, oh, isn't it tomorrow? No, unless you want to be in bed with someone else. But so, you know, things like that, you're just sort of watching the whole time. Mm. So we just wanted to relax a bit more.
And do other things.
Yes.
So we've got a couple of minutes there. What would you say for you were the highlights, Glenn?
People.
People.
Meeting people.
It's that simple.
And 99% of all our guests over the years have been awesome. And really interesting to talk to, other people's life experiences, and you know, whether they were New Zealanders, Kiwis, or they were from overseas, just really nice. Love it.
You'd recommend it for someone else?
Yes. If you've got a room, like Carol says, it's a resource, and if you like meeting people, go for it.
Mm.
It's a little bit of work, particularly getting it set up, but once you get to a point, you get pretty good at getting everything ready for the next guest. But it's the people that, I mean, obviously the money's good, and it's nice to have a bit of extra money, but it's meeting the people that's the best thing.
And for you?
The best thing was sharing the animals and seeing the people's faces when they connected with whatever animal it was that liked them and they liked. So not everyone likes alpacas, not everyone likes chickens, But, you know, they would find one of our animals would usually fascinate them. And they would, you just see this on their face. And the thing I liked least was the tax return.
Okay. But apart from that, all of the bookings and stuff all going through online.
Yes.
So you just had to be on your phone ready.
That's right. So have the phone with you all the time, and then you can, because a lot of people ask questions before they book. Can they bring their children? No, we weren't child friendly. It's too dangerous to have children.
Well, so, just because we had animals five, and you were a little, you know, you'd have to be very aware of what your kids, your little kids were doing. So if they got on the back end of a horse and...
Yes.
So just things like that. So that's why we...
Or into a water trough or the ponds, you know. Yeah. So we decided to make it no children.
So there was a lot of thought went into what would make it work, how it would work. And it was a very successful venture.
It was, yes, yeah. And we enjoyed it for, I think, 8 3/4 of the 9 years. And then we suddenly realised that it was just becoming a little bit of a routine that we were in. Time to end it. We were going on a long overseas holiday, so we wrapped it up, went on our holiday, came back, and 2 months later, our lovely grandson asked if he could come and live with us. And we said, well, what about sleep out? And he said, perfect.
A perfect ending.
Exactly.
Thank you both very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.